33. 4,000 tongues to sing. a little bit different. First of all, I like to read something that really doesn't say anything about salt, but I think you will reread it and go from there, that it might make sense. So, in honor of God's word, let's stand, and I shall read John chapter 17 entirety. These works spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Excuse me. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me, before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and thou hast known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Please be seated. Now you say, well, why read that? I don't know if we half realize what that is. That is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, whom we worship. But my question is, do we really worship? Do we really realize how powerful, how wonderful, how holy He is? And with those thoughts and with these verses in background, let's take a look at the subject on the board. That is light and salt. We must realize that light takes energy to produce. The light, for the power for these lights right here is coming through wires from energy somewhere, maybe down Sunbury. But bear in mind the verses we just read from John about all this power. This power to give us light. The light of His holiness. The light of His power. By the way, did you happen to notice the very first word of this prayer? He says, Father, the hour is come. He doesn't say, Mother. Now, there would be some churches make you believe that that would be the case. Not so. It's Father. Father of all. So, light itself, well, what does light do? Light exposes. If Dan were to go turn those switches off, it'd be pretty dark in here. But as you turn them back on, the light comes forth, it exposes us. We're here. Whatever is in this room. Now, I wonder if we're using light, because if we turn to Matthew 5, let's see what it says. In verse 14 of chapter 5 of Matthew, it says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the high on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, on that, since we're on that same chapter, back up to verse 13, where it says, Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt have lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Now, it's easy to say, well, that's salt. But what does salt do? Well, it changes things. It changes things. You get a bowl of soup before you, and you take a taste and say, eh, that's missing something. Hand me the salt shaker. So, we salt, we put some salt in it, it changes the taste of it. Now, it also preserves and heals. But what I like to look at tonight is the fact that it changes. And the question is, since we are supposed to be the salt, are we doing things that change things? And let's take a look at some situations. In order to change things and be salt, we have to be a witness, do we not? And on this beautiful Sunday day that we're just going through, how do our neighbors look at us? And how does the world react on a day like this? And are we putting some salt out to change it? To change the flavor of it? For instance, our neighbors might see us get out this morning, even this evening. We're dressed up. We go to our vehicle and we leave. And they say, oh, they must be going to church. On the other hand, we look across the street. We see Joe over here. He's out in his sweatpants and he's got his golf bag over his shoulder. And what's he going to do? So people, by what they see, are actually seeing a testimony in what we do, say, and even wear. And as far as any other type of illustration, we can say, well, that guy there went, I saw him go to church yesterday. I guess that's where he went. But what's he doing Sunday afternoon? What's he doing? Well, he's out there mowing his lawn. That's what he's doing. And he's out there playing baseball. He's out there digging up his garden. Does it make sense? Not according to my Bible. So what are we doing? What kind of salt are we spreading around? Are we spreading salt that makes a difference? Or are we spreading salt that, as it says here, if salt lost its savor? Things like that. And another illustration might be the fact that, well, here we go. We live in a corner where there's a stop sign. And here comes this guy that just saw, we thought, went to church. And he buzzes through that stop sign like it wasn't there. Yeah. Is that good spreading of the salt? We have to watch ourselves because people are watching us. And as we attempt to spread salt and light, we have to be very conscious of what takes place around us and who sees us, what we do and say. Another thing is my concern for this church is we've had a number of people come here, they come for a few times and don't come back. Did they need some salt to change their taste of this church? And if they did, what was it? For instance, when they walk through that door, what do they expect? What do they expect? When I was a young fellow, I grew up in what started out to be a German Lutheran church. So German that before my time, they preached their sermons in German. And when I grew up in that church, I used to look around, look at the people and say, those people just come to show off their clothes, their shiny suits and their fancy hats and so forth and so on. But since that time, I've been around a little while, I've come to the conclusion that most of those people weren't just coming to show off their fancy clothes, but in respect of the one who created them and the universe. You know, respect is something. For instance, this last week, I guess it was, our president went to visit the King of England, or the Queen of England, I'm sorry. And if you saw any of the pictures, you saw that he was quite dressed up. He even had a bow tie on, a white one. I don't even have one of those. But anyhow, he was dressed up with tails and the whole shebang. And the Queen also was dressed up. Now, why didn't he go over there in his sweatpants and sneakers? That would have been a disgrace, not respect. And in the service, if the commanding officer comes around for inspection, you don't go out there with your work clothes on. You have your dress uniform on. And another thing is, which is rather, I don't know if you call it odd, but it used to be, at least, when the person went to a friend's funeral, he'd put on his best clothes, suit, whatever, and go to the funeral. Now, why? Why go? That guy's dead. He can't see you. Why? Well, his family's around, and you used to go there in respect of the individual. But what do we do when we come to the house of God? What kind of respect do we show with what we wear there? You say, well, that's minor, because God don't looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outside. Well, if you look in Matthew 22, I have it here, and it is verse 11 through 12. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I realize that that is spiritual. But I have this question. There is the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, giving an illustration, and he's using clothing. Now, do you think that he would use that if it didn't make any difference? That's something you might consider. So anyhow, it's something you can think about. Another thing, getting back to what I was saying about what do these people who come here a few times and we never see them again, what do they expect when they walk in here? Do they walk in expecting a holy atmosphere? Now, what do you mean by a holy atmosphere? Well, I'm not after this ritual type thing, but respect. Respect for Almighty God. Do they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit among us? Or does it seem just like they were going to a bingo game? They walk in, casual, in little respect. Just a jolly situation. Or do they find this, or do they find respect? I think respect is something that is fairly well lost in today's society. It's around yet. I go to my local bank and drive up to the drive window and say, How do you do, Mr. Klotz? Well, That's showing me respect. Of course, it's good for them. They're in the money business. They want to make money and be friendly. But the fact still remains, there's still respect there. So if we're going to be salt, we've got to look at the situation a little closer than just salt. And we have to remember, like we, if we are put in this world to be salt, does that mean that we change something, a situation, into 100% salt? Or does it mean we change the flavor of the situation? There's only one instance I can remember where something was changed to 100% salt. That was Lot's wife, the pillar of salt. Now, a pillar of salt, I'm assuming, would be 100% salt. But that's not our job. For instance, as we started out saying about the bowl of soup, we put a little bit of salt in there, it changes the taste of it. It doesn't change the whole bowl of soup into salt. We wouldn't even attempt to eat it. So we have to, I think we have to remember that in this world, being salt, as we go forth in this world, is Lord Jesus' prayer here was, he doesn't want to take us out of the world, but keep us from evil. That as we go out into this world, that we're not going to change situations 100%. But we might change the flavor of it. One of the situations like that might be this business of voting. Some people don't want to vote. They say, well, we're not of this world. Well, God says we're in this world, and we're the salt of the earth, a salt of the world. And we say, oh, well, we don't, what if a brother votes for one party and another brother votes for the opposite party? Well, what did it do? It changed the statistics, didn't it? It changed something. It changed the flavor of the situation. So it's quite a business. You can probably delve very deeply into this business of being salt. And as far as respect is concerned, Scripture teaches us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And another thing I think we should look at as far as being a salt and this business of dress, let me bring this fact out that the men here really know, and that is spring and summer is a very dangerous and hard time for men. Why? Because women are running around, shall we say, half naked. And that is a hard thing for a man to face, sinless, if he is going to be sinless. And perhaps we should look at Psalm 111. I think that's the one I want. Let me look here once. Yeah, let's take a look at Psalm 111. Wait, I have a Proverbs here too. Just a minute, please. Now, Psalm 111, let's see what it says. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So be the word of God. But I had, let me see if I can find it here in Proverbs. Yes. Is from what I just said about dress. Let's look at Proverbs 5. I'll read the whole thing. And it's not an easy proverb. But Proverbs, you will find, is full of wisdom. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are immovable, they are that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last that thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. I don't think we need to comment, but take it to heart. So, what's that got to do? Well, it's got to do with light. It shows light on the situation. It shows light on evil. And I think that's one of our jobs. We are to expose evil among us. We are to light up his holy word. We are to be obedient. Let us turn to hymn number 700, and after that particular song, we will have your comments.